Let us turn now to Psalm 67. Psalm 67 and from verse 5. We will consider the last three verses in Psalm 67 as the Lord may be pleased to help us. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. A psalm of praise. That's not the title, but it's a description of it. A desire for mercy. And that's what we need. We have no rights to anything in this world, but we should be asking for mercy. Mercy is what we don't deserve. The good things that God gives us. And what all we get is mercy in this world. All the good things that we get, they're given in mercy. Our food in particular, when we are to thank God in a special way for his kindness to us, in particular throughout this past year, but when we're coming before God to thank him, it would be good to thank him for all the blessings that we have ever had, all the food that has been provided for us. And of course, we shouldn't content ourselves with thanking God for temporal blessings. We should thank the Lord that we have the gospel. We should thank the Lord that we have access to the preaching of the gospel. And all that is set before us, all the means of grace that we have, that we know we are to pray. Whether we are as careful to remember to pray is another matter. But we have no excuse if we are forgetful of going to the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and grace to help in time of need. Well, here we are, and another year has gone by, and we gather together to praise God and to ask for fresh mercy. Verse 1. And the people of God should be asking that God's way may be known upon the earth, his saving health among all nations. And in a time when the good news of salvation was confined very much to the Israelites, that's a remarkable petition, that all nations, all peoples would enjoy the saving health, spiritual health, that God gives. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Well, first of all, let us notice something in particular about this matter of praise. Praise to God. And then in the Second place, we will say something about blessing. And there certainly are a connection between praising God and God blessing us. There should be a connection. That whenever we get a blessing, we should be ready to praise God for it. And we have received many blessings. So this evening in particular, we should be ready to praise God. But in the third place, we will try to say something about the gospel being spread to the whole world, all the ends of the earth, that part of the verse in particular, all the ends of the earth shall fear God. They will have true religion. In other words, to speak about the fear of God, I've often explained it in terms of having a holy attitude to God, a right attitude to God, in having a holy respect for God and for His commandments. And then we can also find the expression being used for true religion, true personal religion. If we say that somebody fears God, yes, they are people who have a holy respect for God and His commandments, but also it's a way of saying that this is a person or these are persons that have true religion. They have been born again. They are looking to Christ. They are trusting in Him. Well, these three things particularly, as we follow the verses through, first, the call to praise God, and secondly, the blessings that God gives, and then thirdly, the true religion confined at that time when the psalmist wrote, very possibly David, we just don't know definitely, but true religion in the psalmist time confined to the seed of Israel, but speaking about, thinking about the gospel being spread everywhere. And in a sense it has been spread right across the world. But while that is true, there are lots of places that do not have it. And we should be praying that all the ends of the earth, all the spaces of this world where people live, that they would get the gospel and get good from the gospel. First then, the call to praise. And we have here, let all the people praise thee, because of God's goodness, because of His blessings. That's a duty that should come with force to us all. And then perhaps the next thought might be, I don't have grace to praise God in a right way. And that's a sad confession. I don't have the grace. I don't have the spiritual knowledge and energy and life to praise God from the heart. Well, can you not say a word of prayer to God for yourself, for your own soul, that the Lord would bless you, that the Lord would do you good in your soul. Yes. But you see, the children of God have grace. They have some power to bless God, to praise. They can do so meaningfully. They can do so sincerely. It's not to say that every time they attempt that duty, that they are able to carry it through. But, you see, the Lord can give grace. Oh, whatever it is that we are to do, whatever spiritual duty is before us, whatever spiritual duty may come home to our consciences, we need to go to God for grace. Grace to praise. Grace to speak out the good things that are true of the kindnesses of God, in particular just now, His goodness in providing food for us. Yes. Oh, may the Lord give us grace to praise Him this evening. How many things today should have aroused us our thankfulness in your own providence? You go through them without getting distracted. Ask the Lord not to get it distracted when you think of these things. You've had your normal number of meals today. That was God's goodness, that you had food in your cupboard or in the freeze, wherever it might be, or the fridge. The Lord had a providence that brought it there, that brought it from the fields. Maybe a very complicated chain that brought it to you, that brought it to your cupboard or fridge or whatever. The goodness of God too is in these things. The goodness of God in giving spiritual blessings, in giving the gospel. We shouldn't stop at temporal things. We're to thank God for the gospel, the means of grace, a church that we can go to, a Bible that we can read. Yes, God is good to us. And no doubt even those who are not able to read any longer have something of the truth in their minds. And that's a good reason for young people, one good reason for young people learning the scriptures, learning Psalms, learning other passages of the Word of God, when their memories are at their best, their capacity for learning, it's normally at its best when people are young. And you see, there's more than that to it. We might never go blind, but it's not always that we have access to the Word of God. If you're walking along the street, you may not have anything on your person except your memory where the Word of God is stored, and it may be only a little. But what's in the memory can be brought out. It can be brought out. And it can only be brought out if it's put into the memory. How good it is to bring a verse of the Word of God, even a few words of the Word of God, into our minds, from our memories, and to think over it our thinking over it may well stimulate us to seek the Lord. We need to be seeking the Lord. Yes. Praise the Lord for his goodness. And there's a great deal of goodness, if I can put it like that, in God's covenant revealed to Noah after the flood. There was that solemn judgment that came upon the whole world. And he promised, the Lord promised, that never again would he bring judgment on the whole world so as to sweep almost everybody, almost every living creature away into, well, almost every living human being away into eternity. Yes. But you see the promise. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Now the seed time and harvest, or at least the harvest, might fail. But not as a worldwide judgment. In particular, in circumstances, God coming in judgment to a particular place, harvest might fail, and that might have repercussions for the next seed time. And that calls for repentance. I mean, because of the dry weather in the past year, or the past part of this year, so much of it, yields of crops were very much lower. Was God not speaking there? Has anybody got an ear to listen to what God is saying to us? And yet, we go on drifting morally and spiritually. We go on drifting away from God. It's a solemn situation to be in, as we are as a nation and as communities. Yes. When it's pronounced that it's illegal to teach Christian observance. But we are to praise God for the blessings that we have. As Jeremiah, in a very difficult situation, was still saying, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. They are new every morn. Great is thy faithfulness. Yes. Great is thy faithfulness. And he will be faithful to his children. He has made promises to his children. What a blessing, just to mention that just now when it comes into my mind. What a blessing for this country, say, that there are a good number of the children of God in it. Now, we would wish that there were far more of God's children in this country. But the fact that there are some is a great matter for thankfulness. And they are praying. Perhaps they should be more prayerful, no doubt. But they are praying for spiritual blessing. And God has not left us. That's a great matter for praise. And when the Lord will come to pour out his Spirit, it will be because the children of God have been praying. Not only the people of God who are still alive when God will come, to work powerfully. But the prayers of those who may be hundreds of years in the grave. There's prayers that have not been answered. Say for this country. Say for Inverness itself. There are unanswered prayers before God. And that's a wonderful thing, that they are continuously before God, these prayers not yet answered. And we should be asking the Lord to remember these prayers. He hasn't forgotten. But what we particularly mean by asking the Lord to remember these prayers is that he would give a gracious answer to them. That he would pour out his spirit, for instance. But let us move on. There's a second thing, and that is that God has blessed. But more, God shall bless us. And Psalm 15 teaches us that where there is God's blessing, we can say that God will bless us. He says, or the psalmist says, and yet, though I change that, if the psalmist says something, or any of the other writers of Scripture, that's the same as saying God says it. Of course, when it's quoting what ungodly people have said, that's not the content of that is not what God is saying, but it's been reported accurately if it's in Scripture. But what I was going to point to is this. The psalmist acknowledging, Psalm 115, the Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. If God has blessed, for instance, if God has blessed his people with the spirit of prayer, he will bless them to one extent or another with answers to prayer. They will get good for themselves at least if they pray. They will get good for themselves if they're praying for the conversion of the whole world, say. And that's not to be fulfilled, if that's not to be fulfilled, for a considerable period into the future. As that was true of the prayer of the psalmist, let the whole earth be filled with his glory. There's been a degree of fulfillment, but there's so much more to come yet. Yes, but you see, they got a blessing for themselves. These people of God who have been praying over the generations, they weren't left without some blessing. And yet, just think of this. If they were praying, here is a blessing that very likely they were given. A further longing for good to be done. A further longing, he will bless us. He may have passed into eternity without seeing any great answer to their prayers, any obvious answer to their prayers, perhaps. But he will bless us. And he will bless his people with further longings. There's a blessing. And a blessing to be thankful for. Yes. And the psalmist goes on, he will bless those that fear the Lord, both small and great. He speaks of various groups of peoples. But he's very extensive at this point, both small and great. People of no significance and people apparently of great significance. People of every kind. Who have the grace of God in their hearts, who have true religion, who have the fear of God. Yes, he will bless. And what a blessing this is. When he shall appear, when Christ shall appear, we, that is believers, like John, it's in 1 John 3, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Oh, the children of God are forever passing away from this world. It's the final blessing. Now, death might not seem a blessing, and in some ways it is not. But to be brought with gladness great and mirth on every side into the palace of the King and there to abide, what a blessing that is, that aspect of it. Oh, there may be great pain in the believer's tabernacle, the believer's body being brought down. And yet, all the feelings of illness and weakness hardly able to express themselves. And yet, the Lord's hearing their desires. However weak they are, the Lord hearing their desires, and he bring them home where they will have no unmet needs. What a blessing that will be. And that's what will be true of every child of God. And oh, if you are not among them, should you not be praying earnestly? Should you not be going to the well of salvation? Should you not be listening to the call of Christ? When he said, if any man thirst, but where is the thirst for the things that matter? Where is the thirst that goes beyond the things of this world? Oh, seek that. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink more and more and more. It's free. Yes. On the other hand, there's this. He gave them what they sought, but to their souls he leaned sent. That was true of the Israelites in the wilderness. They were seeking food. Particular food. They got tired of the food that God gave. How tired people may get of the spiritual food that God serves up from the gospel table. They're not eating it, of course. They think it's a hard saying. Who can hear it, they ask. Yes, but there's food. May the Lord give us a good appetite. Like the man who had a nice joint of meat and he was carrying it home and a dog went off with it. And can't remember quite what he was asked, what someone asked, but he must have been in the habit of making the most of any situation he was in. And he was asked about that. Could he say that still? And he said, but I have an appetite. He was thankful for that. Well, we should be thankful for our situation, that it's not worth. Many a one has said, has expressed thanks that they were not in a lost eternity. perhaps in connection with the weather. It might have been what would be called a very bad day. Stormy, heavy rain, very cold, and so on. But we're not in a lost eternity. How thankful we should be for that. And if we have some hope that we will never be in a lost eternity because of the goodness of God and saving mercy, how thankful we should be for that. But then there's a third point about the gospel, for instance, as expressed here, all the ends of the earth shall fear. You see, the earth shall yield her increase. And that's true, more or less, always. The earth and the goodness of God, when the seed is sown, there's a crop. The circumstances might not always be such, as we hear from time to time with concern about our people in Zimbabwe, and they may not get rain or not get enough rain, and they have no crop or a poor crop. But you see, this is what is generally true across the world. There's a crop when seed is sown. But you see, there's a sowing of spiritual seed, and the seed is the word of God. And we see very little by way of fruit. We see some. We should be thankful for every instance of spiritual fruit. Everyone that makes a profession of faith, that their conduct indicates is sincere. We may make many a mistake. The Lord makes no mistakes. And where he has an intention to bless, he will bless. And there will come a time when there'll be a hundredfold rather than the few, that are brought into the kingdom of God at this time, these years, when things seem to be getting more and more ungodly in the whole. But the Lord is still working. There will still be something of a harvest. And it comes to this in the end, to encourage us. However weak the Church of God may be in our time, all the ends of the earth shall remember and return unto the Lord. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn unto the Lord. That's the truth. That's a promise. God makes promises. And whenever he makes a promise, he will fulfill that promise. And the people of God, while they're waiting, for an answer, and we should be waiting for an answer, we cannot say when the Lord will give an answer. But what we should be saying is, the Lord will answer the prayers of his people when they are pleading his promises. Thou hast said, no doubt these are powerful words in the ears of Jehovah. Thou hast said, how powerful these words are. How ready we should be to youth, all the ends of the earth shall fear. There will be true religion, sincere religion throughout the whole world. That's what we can say in the power of, on the basis of the Word of God. There's people, and they're very negative about the future. What they believe is that things are bad and they can only get worse. No. God is powerful. We have expressions like this. And God, the Almighty One, the Gracious One, will fulfill what He has said. And we're to believe Him when He speaks like this. And we should praise Him in anticipation when He speaks like this. Yes. The good seed. It was all good seed, of course. It was the Word of God. But there were differences between the patches of ground. And there was the good ground. And when the seed fell there, and that, of course, is the ground prepared by God Himself. The hearts prepared by God Himself. And that ground brings forth some 30, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. What a vast increase. I don't know what is the typical yield of a field. It'll vary, of course. But I'm sure 100-fold is a high yield. There are times. Send the apostles out with the Spirit of God. It's of course God sending the apostles out with His own Spirit. After Christ is ascended to glory, there should be a first fruits. A first fruits. Now that's a great matter. A first fruits of the New Testament age. And perhaps that we could say that on that day of Pentecost, and in the days that followed, there was something of a yield of 100-fold. That happened. It's to encourage us for the future. It's to encourage us for the present age when Satan is so strong and his kingdom seems to be prospering. Ah well, the Lord allows. The Lord is yet to show His own power in bringing down Satan's kingdom. The Lord is yet to do that. Yes. And what thanksgiving there will be there. What thanksgiving there will be when better days are brought in through the Spirit of God applying the truth. And of course, one thing that is needed. Think of the time after Christ ascended to heaven. There was the nucleus of a preaching force, if I can call it that. There were the 11 disciples and there were others that were prepared to go out as preachers in the years to come. Paul, Silas, Timothy, Titus, Barnabas and others, many of them not known to us even by name. Now, no doubt, at this time in history, there is a nucleus of a preaching force, many, many that we don't know. But, you see, we're to ask for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in blessing the Word. But there's this other matter. We're to ask for the Lord to send out labourers. Many labourers. He has places where they can go. He has his own way with those he calls out to preach the gospel. And we're to leave that to him. Except for this, that we are to be praying. That we are to be looking for that blessing in the church of God. We are so ignorant. But we're to go by the word. Our thinking is to be influenced by the word of God. Yes. Did you see, the great thing is this, as Paul said, I have planted, Apollos watered, another one that was raised up as a preacher. But God gave the increase. Now, ministers called forth their preaching. Perhaps the others or the same men are watering, continuing to preach the word, which continues to be blessed to those who are brought into the kingdom of God. But if this is blessed, it's because God is working by the Holy Spirit. We need that. We live in a dark age. We live in a time when the gospel is so largely hid. But still, wherever it is preached, there should be this call and similar calls. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Ye buy, ye drink wine and milk without money and without price. There's the call of the gospel at the beginning of Isaiah 55. It's a call that has just gone out here. God is speaking. It's his word. Come to the gospel feast. We were considering that a few Sabbaths ago. Well, the gospel table is still piled high with good things. Come, sinner, to the gospel and receive the wine and milk, the good things of the gospel, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and we are to take of what Christ has purchased for sinners. Good food, good spiritual food, good spiritual drink. If any man thirst, he is saying, let him come unto me and drink. But remember the danger. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread? And your labors for that which satisfieth not? Why waste your energy? Why waste your time on things that will do your soul no good? But the Lord is saying, hearken diligently. Notice that word. Diligently. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and may your soul delight itself in fatness. Yes. Spiritual delight. It might seem incredible to an unconverted person that there's enjoyment in finding Christ and becoming holy. But it's true. Hearken diligently unto me, the Lord is saying. There's good things to be found. Rather than wasting your time, a precious resource. Yes, a precious resource. Don't waste your time. Redeem the time. Buy it back. Don't waste it. Don't scatter it. Make use of it. Pray for your soul. Read the Bible. Meditate over it. Yes. Thank God for it. And ask him to bless it to you. And then, thank God that you have the gospel. Thank God if the gospel has been made precious to you. Please, we're not only here this evening to praise God for our bodily food. The people of God should be praising him for the blessings, for the spiritual food that he has given to them and through which they have life for their souls. May the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray. Have mercy, Lord. Make us thankful to thee. Make us thankful that there is something to be said about thy word or from thy word. Make us thankful that the gospel can be brought near to us. Oh, come thyself by thy Holy Spirit to apply the truth to our souls, to open our eyes that we might see Jesus, to open our ears so that we might hear his voice speaking into our souls. Bless us, Lord. Bless us all. Do not leave us to carelessness, but may we be concerned about our souls. Grant to do us good, wash away our sin. Go before us now, bless us every day we are spared in this world, not only with food and drink and clothing and shelter, and all the spiritual blessings that we have, and medicine, when we are unwell, bless it to those who need it. Pardon us, keep us, and care for us. Be our God and guide forever. Give us good things for our souls. Apply them to us. Pardon our sin. Make us truly thankful. For Jesus' sake, amen.